Good morning. Bereshit. The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 and it goes through to Matthew chapter 2 verses 12. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chiefs, the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I'm not sure what your week's been like or what these next few days are going to be like for you, but often the word that comes to mind is frenetic, busy, almost out of control. And I just want us very much this morning, as we start to prepare our hearts for communion, is to pause for a moment and reflect on the baby that we celebrate year on year. For 2,000 years, we've celebrated the birth of a baby. At the heart of the Christmas story is that a child was born. And Sue and I, as you know, have had the privilege of having three children. We've now got four grandchildren. I remember being at the birth of each of our three children, and It's an experience that I must be honest, I will never forget. The grandparents were very keen to see these newborn babies. And they would say things like, oh, so beautiful. It looks just like your great-great-grandfather. How they know these things, I have no idea. Or they'll say things like, oh, look at the length of his back. Oh, what big hands they've got. They'll say all kinds of things that you will have heard. And of course, there's nothing quite like your child. They're the most beautiful thing that's ever been born. And of course, they're not. But they appear to be. These are all very normal and natural things to say. And I must be honest, as I've seen each of our four grandchildren just shortly after they were born, you look at them and you think, oh my word, and they melt your heart. And I'm sure it would have been the same for Mary and Joseph as they looked at this little bundle that comes into the world in circumstances that were often very different to ours. Having said that, in Tiddlers, one of the mum described giving birth to her child in the car on the way to the hospital. And so that's a story. Not a barn, not in a manger, but in the front of, I think, a Ford Fiesta. Now that's a story. But I want this morning, and it just seems to me so appropriate this morning that we have the table set before us. Because when we look at our little ones and our little ones grow up, and our youngest now is 33. And I remember vividly when I was 33 thinking, oh my goodness, this was the age that my Lord and Savior died. Our oldest is 41. Our middle child is 37. And as they're growing up, you want the very best for them. And you wonder what they're going to be. And I remember Emma was very clear when she was just 2 years of age what she wanted to be. She either wanted to be a doctor or a Clark's shoe fitter. And she never became a doctor, but boy, oh boy, does she love shoes. You just want the best for them. And you'll understand this as a parent. Actually, what you want more for them than anything is for them to be happy. For them to have people around them who value them and treasure them. Well, the baby that we're talking about this morning had a life mission. And you know what that life mission was. This table tells us graphically about what his life mission was. To put it succinctly, it was to restore mankind to God. I do count it. We were praying before the service, as we always do, and I'm still gobsmacked that I can actually call God Father. That the babe that was born, I can know as my brother. I can't get my head around it. And I've studied it and studied it. And you know, you can study it until the cows come home, but until something happens in your heart, you can't really see it. Well, I can see it, but I want to see it more clearly. And so as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, I just want us to pause and reflect on what the angels said about this child that was born. The angel Gabriel to Mary in Luke chapter 1 said this, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." And Jesus means he saves. "He will be great." And that word great is where we get mega from. Do you remember where mega, everything was mega? That's where we get it from. "His name will be great." It means possessing power, rank, dignity. Extraordinary, outstanding, the most important. Nobody said that of Emma, Jonathan and James. Of course they didn't. But they said of this little baby, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Do you remember, I think it was Wogan, and there was an interview with a man who claimed to be of God. I think his name was David Icke. And if I remember right, he was in a purple suit. And at one point, when he was talking about the fact that, yes, he was obviously of God, the people in the audience laughed. And Terry Wogan said to him, they're not laughing with you, they're laughing at you. I thought it was an incredible moment. It was quite a tense moment. Because this man who genuinely believed that he was a prophet or something of God. But actually, that's what's being said of this child. Not that he's a prophet of God, but that actually he's God himself. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And you'll know Mary's response. She's looking absolutely bewildered at what's been said of her. And she says, actually, I've never been with a man, so how can I have a baby? And then the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. These are huge statements. And they can trip off our tongue, can't they, at this sort of time, and we can hear carols singing about it. But actually, these are huge statements that have been made of this child. Let's go on to the utterance from the angel to Joseph. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew goes on to say, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. These are huge things. He's not talking about the length of a back or how big a hands are or how cute somebody's ears are or what a mop of hair they've got. This is of another level. Which frankly sounds absolutely ridiculous, unless it's true. What about the angel to the shepherds? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. I must be honest, I prefer the version, actually, that we used to sing in primary school. Something to do with socks and all that kind of stuff. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, because angels are terrifying beings. We have this... I love the nativity, and I love the fact that we have all these pretty little ones with little angels and whatever, their wings. But the angelic being, these were warriors. Our warriors. And they've come to make an announcement. Angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, let's repeat it again. A Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. So Mary's child was the Great One, the Son of the Most High, the Holy One, the Son of God, God with us, the Savior, Christ the Lord, God for us. There's no wonder that the Bible records that Joseph and Mary were amazed at what was being said about the child. But these titles that I've just shared with you, they're just a small number of what scripture actually says about this baby that was born. Here are just some others. He's called Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the Bread of Life, the King of Kings, the Light of the World, the Lord of All, the Prince of Peace, the Resurrection. Perhaps my favorite passage comes from Isaiah, written 700 years before Christ's birth. You'll know it well. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so I don't want you to miss this. Yes, a child is born. But as important, a son is given. And that's what we will commemorate again this morning. Yes, we will remember the child in Bethlehem, but the child's mission was to redeem humanity so that we can have a relationship with God again. And how was that purchased? It was purchased through the very death and the flowing of his lifeblood so that you and I could live and be free from sin and stain and guilt and shame. Because he bore all of that on a cross for us. The US astronaut James Irwin, on his return to Earth after standing on the moon, said this: "The most significant achievement of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Christ stood upon this earth." That is what we're celebrating in a couple of days' time. The Christmas story is remarkable. This is what C.S. Lewis says about Christianity. He says, "Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." So the question I have to ask you this Christmas is, who is Jesus to you? Is he a fable? Is he part of the Christmas glitz and glamour? Part of a media drive so you can empty your pockets? Or is he actually the person that Scripture describes as the one who loves you so much that he came to redeem your life and to save you from an eternity away from God? I've shared this so many times, but I cannot get over the fact that God opened my eyes and helped me to see who this baby was and what he did for me. So let me finish with this piece of writing. I wish I knew who wrote it. I don't. This is what he says. Oh, it could be her. "This baby had once overlooked the universe. His robes of eternity were exchanged for the rags keeping him warm. His golden throne room abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen. Worshipping angels replaced with shepherds. Meanwhile, the city lived on, unaware that God had visited them. The innkeeper would never believe that he just sent God into the cold. And people would scoff at anyone who told them the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the skirts of their village, on the outskirts of their village. They were all too busy to consider the possibility. But those who missed His Majesty's arrival missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they were not looking for him." So as we prepare our hearts for communion, let us stop and reflect on who we've come to worship: Jesus, the Messiah, God with us, God for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this very special time of year. Thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning. Maybe the only time in the next few days where people will stop and be able to reflect. I thank you, Father, for every person here and for all of those who are watching online. And we ask, Lord, I ask, open our eyes. Help us see Jesus, who he truly is, what he has truly done, and what he would love to do in us. Father, we pray it in your name. Amen. Let's say the grace one to another, shall we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you.